Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Playing time before being injured. Back to Jared Goff. Wide open. He's going to take it into the end zone. And that's a Lions touchdown. A little trickery, but that's two for Sam Laporta today.
We are back. And we are recording live on YouTube at DTBK and drinking the blue Kool-Aid, however you want to kind of search it on YouTube and subscribe if you're listening to this from the podcast. Follow on there. On when we have a noon game on a Sunday, usually we record like around 8 o'clock at night. But anyways, we are back, baby, and it is Sunday night, and it's another great Sunday night. The Lions with a 42-24 victory over the lowly Carolina Panthers. There's who now moved 0-5, and the Lions moved to 4-1. We're going to talk about this entire game, getting our instant reactions. But before we do, let's get to the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew that's here. We got UJ.
Hello, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers.
And Rud Dog.
Yo!
All right, gentlemen. So, as I mentioned, the Lions 42-24 victory over the Panthers. Ooh. Lions coming to this game is like 9.5-point favorites. Blow that out of the water. They come out roaring right away with a 14-0 lead, and it never got relinquished after that. Just a thing of beauty from beginning to end in a lot of ways. But I want to throw this over to UJ first, just your instant reaction just in general in the game before we kind of break down individual performances and stuff. Or not. Okay. You Rud Dog, how about your thoughts?
It was an awesome performance. Honestly, not our best game as far as like, I don't think everyone played their best, but like, it's like, it didn't really matter. We were just a better team. The Panthers got some things going sometimes, but they couldn't do enough consistently to handle what we were throwing at them, and it was awesome.
UJ, redemption.
Yeah. Oh, it was nice, a redemption game, but I almost didn't look at it as that. This is another team, another
redemption
year
for you. Never mind.
For me.
We're off to a
no. You didn't hear me the first time. I wanted to get your thoughts, so now I'm trying to redeem you by getting your thoughts.
Oh, I didn't hear you. Hey, anyway, it was very. It's very weird sitting around watching a Lions game now because. It used to be pins and needles. Oh, my God, how are they going to pull this one out? What are they going to do? Pull some out of their hat to try to win this game? We got to do something here. And they were just, like, in control. They're a really good team right now, and they're doing what really good teams do, and they're beating up on these lesser teams. We have more talent. We can afford a few mistakes here and there. It doesn't hurt us. And it's just very weird watching a game now. I'm trying to get used to this new reality of looking at a really good Lions team. And sometimes I can't believe it, but an awesome game though. It was a lot of fun. Always giving us a new wrinkle too. Ben Johnson and gang are making this game fun. So just a really fun game to watch.
Just in a lot of different ways. And I like that you said that, UJ, because I had the same conversation with a friend I was watching it with, where it's like, wow, we're just. Like, these games are, like, boring in a good way these days.
Yeah.
Pulling these teams out. And this is absolutely a game. I mean, yeah, exactly. But I mean, right. This is a rookie quarterback, a head coach that's had a lot of struggles in the past. I just think in a roster top to bottom that we on paper were better at. And we did what we thought we should do, which is just awesome in so many ways. I mean, outcoached them, outplayed them, out hustled them. It was just a great performance, and in front of the home crowd, you couldn't ask for much better. I mean, Jared Goff, 20 of 28 passing, 236 yards, 3 touchdowns, made it look easy. Couple sacks he took. Decker still looks a little like a half a step slow with his injury, but him half a step slow is better than not having him out there at all.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll have to take it. But Goff didn't fumble. I was actually impressed on the one backside sack by Burns. He did not fumble the ball. Because if this was Goff of 2 years ago, he might fumble. I think he's actually improved those skills a lot.
I mean, that is the thing about that play, too. Like, you know, if you're going to get beat, getting beat by Brian Burns doesn't look that bad. The dude's pretty damn good at getting to the passer. So, and it wasn't like he did get beat cleanly, but like Goff just had no expectation of it, and he was running away from it. So it took him a second still to get there. But
yeah, I want to talk about Goff for a second, though. I mean, he had what, if I'm not mistaken, like 26 throws, 22 completion, four drops. I mean, he threw perfect passes that were just dropped.
And dimes. The one to Laporta between double coverage.
Yep.
What was the other one?
J-Mo. Reynolds dropped one.
J-Mo. Yep. Oh, Reynolds. Reynolds had the drop.
Yeah.
He made up for that, though.
He did.
Yeah. But I mean, Goff was just really on his game today. So good.
Yeah, he's looking as good as ever. And it's awesome too, because, you know, with a stat line like that, like it's not like it doesn't jump off as like the most impressive stat line yard wise, like only 236 yards, but when you got a run game cooking like we do, and he's just taking what, you know, his shots. I mean, still got 3 touchdowns and ran for one. Like, I mean, the dude's playing great. The team's playing great around him, and that's helping obviously a lot, but he's really feeling it. And if he keeps playing like this, it's going to be hard to stop us.
And Red Dog, you know, there's another streak that Jared Goff is going on right now in a positive way, kind of like the interception streak. It's most games in a row with a quarterback rating above, I think, like, I have to go back and look at the number. It's like 83 or something like that. He has the longest streak right now in the NFL.
Oh, man.
I don't know what the record is, but
I think this may, at the end of this season, maybe people shut up about him not being elite. Like, just because he can't run like some of these other guys, like, he is a top-notch pocket passing quarterback. And you know what's kind of funny today? Like, a couple of things really highlighted, like, the difference, because, like, people don't think of elite traits, like, for quarterbacks necessarily in height, but his height is clearly an advantage. That 6'6 frame gives him such a commanding view of the field. And then you watch that midget across the field from him running around like a little, like, just, you know, he wasn't terrible, man. But like you just see the disadvantages of the height. But like even like the between the leg snap, the direct snap to Montgomery, like that would have hit Bryce Young in the nuts. also the touchdown pass to Reynolds where he just pops it over there to him, like, he has such an advantage. Like, Bryce Young would be throwing on like a 45 degree angle to get that ball up there to.
Yeah. In a sport where the quarterback position is moving toward like mobile and versus kind of more stationary quarterbacks, Goff has still shown it. Like, you can sit in the pocket and be successful. but he had another rushing touchdown in this game. So,
yes, he did.
Yeah.
Maybe, best maybe running quarterback, mobile quarterback in the league, baby. Sorry, keep it canned, you know, because that I don't need him taking those risks. It's all good. Just keep dropping down.
Definitely. Dives. I mean, UJ, do you think Goff's height makes a big difference for him?
Oh, absolutely. And let's face it, this league still, I don't care if you're a running quarterback or not, you still need to be a good pocket quarterback in this league, a pocket passer. And Goff right now is at the top of his game in that category. The play action pass is just working wonders right now, especially with our running game clicking. It's really nice. And like Rud Dog said, and first of all, Rud Dog, it's little people, not midgets. But that pass over the middle
wee people
to Reynolds was, you know, just a prototypical tall quarterback to a, you know, a receiver reaching high in the end zone, and no one else could catch that but our guy. That's the kind of catches people always do against us in the past, you know. And here we're doing these kind of things. It's just, I don't know, it's just so much fun to watch.
Freaking awesome is what it is.
Yeah. And that, let's we're going to talk about it anyway, but let's talk about that snap between the legs play.
So sweet.
That was so great how he sold that thing. Did you see Goff? He's like standing there pointing off in the distance as the snap's going through his leg, and he just sold it so well.
Did you hear how they cued it? Goff gave away the secret. I don't know why he said this out loud to like the press. I guess they don't care. The cue was, J-Mo, get over here. And when he like, so he's standing up waving to J-Mo, and as he's doing that, that's the cue for the snap. And it's just such a cool, ingenious play. Like I've never seen that before. Literally, I don't think I've ever seen a snap between someone's legs like that. It was excellent. It worked really well.
Yeah,
Ben Johnson.
In case you're listening and you don't know what we're referring to, it was in the red zone. I think it was like
15-yard line, about.
Around the 15.
It was third and six. It was the third and six play. We were like, what are we going to dial up here? And he dialed that up.
But Goff is lined up under center, and then, like he said, with Red Dog, he calls J-Mo over, and then right in the middle of that call, the snap goes underneath Goff's legs, like through the wickets, to David Montgomery directly behind him. So it was
so cool.
A direct snap that ends up being to David Montgomery. Yeah, just another wrinkle in the Lions offense. The fake reverse flea flicker touchdown was another
sweet,
perfect.
That was
called, played by Ben Johnson.
And executed.
Who continues to have just a great feeling, the play calling.
That's like a flex,
NFL,
though.
Especially
like,
within the confines of this offense.
If your offense isn't clicking and everyone's not humming on their assignments, that play doesn't hit. It's too much going on to develop. Like, everyone's got to be on point for those kind of long developing plays, and they've been, and it's sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, he's had time to work back there, Goff has. So, look, can we talk about J-Mo for 1 second?
No, for 2 seconds.
Maybe for multiple seconds, but yeah.
No less than 10.
I don't think it's any surprise that he didn't get a whole lot of action in this game, but
no, they said they would.
I just, aside from his drop ball, which was pretty nasty drop, it was just right in his mitts, but he was blocking like a demon out there, man. Mm-hmm. The guy was out there really helping out on run plays. So I got him.
Yeah.
The first credit.
Yeah. The first touchdown run, he had a big block to help spring that one further. He pancaked his guy.
Yeah, he's a dog.
I mean, the guy plays with a toughness that is appreciated by his teammates, even though he that hasn't necessarily produced as a wide receiver yet.
Yeah, but he'll get his reps soon enough. But like, that's the thing. Like, I think a lot of people underestimate about J-Mo, and like think about it this way: we passed on Jalen Carter this year, who is looking like maybe the best like player in the draft, especially by positional value, like. And he's looking like an absolute monster, but we passed on him because he didn't fit our culture. He didn't fit our character makeup. Like, I think a lot of people who are still sore on that, like, only attribute it to the reckless driving incident, but I think it's beyond that. Like, and like, you just see it with J-Mo, you know, they didn't just draft him because of his speed. They drafted him because of the type of person and player he is. So I was not surprised for him to come out and start, you know, being a dog and getting after it. Honestly, the surprising things are the mistakes he's made, which honestly have become very minimized in retrospect. So, like I just love to see him back in the fold, out there getting his reps. Soon enough, that kid's going to go off.
Everybody's just waiting for that moment where he does go off. We've been waiting for 2 years.
yeah.
It's such a tease.
It is. I mean, because you can see it. You can see it.
Oh, you can
he's
see it.
He's got an alien-like body. I don't know. Like, you're just waiting for it. I mean, his strides are ridiculous. You just gotta get him in open. I was expecting more, at least one deep shot to, like, down the sideline with him, but we'll get that later, I guess.
Yeah, because when you can do what you're doing with Josh Reynolds deep and with like Raymond and everyone else, it's, you know, you don't need to start pushing it to the new guy just yet.
right. But I mean, let's stay on the offensive side of the ball. We can go to the defensive side moment, but offensive side, Sam Laporta just continues to be a
stud.
Just a great, great draft signing. And
draft signing.
Draft pick. We did sign him technically.
You're not wrong.
I mean, he is just a great knack for using his body to get open. And when it's thrown his way, he's normally catching the ball. Now the one between double coverage is a slightly tough throw. He should have caught it still, but either way, I mean, the tight end should not be this like. Look like dynamic. They've been there for like 3 to 4 years in the offensive scheme already. And Goff is complete faith in him. And it's great to see.
It's sweet. He's like, I've already seen shades of all, he fits right in with the crew of like the top dudes like Kittle and Kelsey.
Yeah.
Are you talking, Z? Oh, I thought you were, sorry. Yeah. He fits in right on top with the elites. Like, this dude looks, he's going to have maybe the best rookie season for a tight end ever if he keeps up what he's doing. So, I mean, it's just incredible what he's done. Let's just never draft tight ends in the first round again and get them only in the second.
Yeah. Just when we have a really, really high pick in the second round. It's just outside.
Yeah.
But, UJ, what is Laporta doing out there that maybe previous tight ends for the Lions haven't done?
Wow. That's a good question. He just seems a little more fluid, you know, as they say, the hips or whatever, his change of direction and his just general speed. And he has a knack, too. Like, good receivers seem to have a knack for finding that open spot, you know. It's not like we're in high school, you know, you run an out pattern, you run it exactly 10 yards, and then you turn right. You know, these guys look for openings in the defense, and a good receiver sort of has a knack for just finding it, and he has that knack. I mean, he really does. And not only that, he's been very sure-handed, despite the criticisms for him, you know, before the season started. And, you know, he's had one, maybe two drops, if I'm not mistaken, in the whole season. But
I'm hoping he gets.
But, man, it's just his speed, his instincts, you know. And that's the thing about these guys where you can go around this whole team and – We've drafted so many instinctive players that just seem to they're so instinctive. I don't know if I can go deeper into that, but maybe you guys can. But
they're smart, they're intelligent players. Like those instincts are usually from understanding the game. But there was a play today to highlight your point about Laporta where it was a broken play a little bit, and Goff was scrambling, and Laporta broke to the sideline and made a terrific like gainer on it. I don't know if you guys remember that one. It was fantastic. He like kind of broke his route to the sideline and just beat the game. Yeah. Laporta or Goff a great out for a first down, I believe. Yeah, this kid, like, but you're right. They do have like instincts and things like that. And like, but I think part of that's like the character makeup, the formula they've created for these players, what they're looking for in these kids. And like, I think there's something for like when your life is about football, you're going to probably have a little more instincts for it. Like, and that's why I think they want these guys like that are all about ball. And because guys who are all about ball are those guys like you know them when you see them, like when you watch them play, like the guy that jumps to my mind, like the Honey Badger, right? Like, I think he's one of the most instinctive players who ever played the game. Just you could tell he just always found his way. But like, there's so many other great examples, but that instinct, like you see it in Branch, you see it in Laporta, you just see it. You're right, we have it. And I think they're drafting that instinct though on purpose. Like, I think that's the amazing thing about it.
Yeah, Brian Branch has some of those instincts. That I mean, he doesn't have that elite speed. That's maybe one of the reasons why he fell to the Lions, but it's elite instincts that help him on the field.
You see it in the learning
and actually, I don't know if you guys
drafted too, right? Like, ever since Brad Holmes has been here, how many rookies have we had pick it up so quick? I mean, seriously, like, think about it.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with coaching.
True.
I mean, the Lions have a unique staff where almost every single player and coach, every single coach is a former player in the NFL. And I was highlighted. I just want to, you know, throwing out this. Sorry. And the one that wasn't a player is Ben Johnson, but I just want to segue that, because Adam Schefter just retweeted a tweet from the Lions. And basically the 49ers just ran that exact same like fake reverse flea flicker touchdown pass to the tight end in their game against the Cowboys just now for like about a 40-yard touchdown. So
wow.
Nice. That was funny.
Z, what is this, 2022 or something? What's Twitter?
Oh, good one. Yeah. X. Yeah.
X.
Hey, you know, if it works, it works, right?
All right. And
it's about knowing when to dial it up.
Copycat league, baby.
Definitely. Yeah, because, I mean, we mentioned before, the Lions took a play from, like, seemingly, like, the pack. I can't remember which one exactly the time I had, but that was seen by, like, LaFleur and someone else on the Packers. And then,
what was that one?
Yeah, that was that. Each other. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, like, because, like, I mean, it's just like music, you know? Like, there's only so many notes. There's only so many lanes and avenues and ways to do things with the ball. Like, I wouldn't even be surprised if, like, the snap between the legs has been done long ago. But, like, you know, like, you see it all the time. Things come in fads and seasons. And, like, the Wildcat was revived for a while with great success by Miami. Like, the NFL is constantly flowing and evolving and changing. And it's not always evolving. Sometimes it's just bringing back old concepts into a new era, you know, and that can be befuddling. Yep. Everyone's prepared to stop, you know, this high falutin pass game. Well, guess what? We built our team to run really well. So now I'll try to stop that. You know, that's why it's always great. It's constant battle and war. There's always new stratagems, always new things. And the Lions are building in a great way to combat all of it, to change with any of it, which is just to get dynamic, explosive athletes who understand the game and want to learn it to the deepest levels.
And you guys, no Amon Ra, no Jahmyr Gibbs. A lot of injuries on both sides of the ball. And it did not make a difference. They did not miss a beat. I mean, the box score, Josh Reynolds, 4 for 76 and a touchdown. Laporta, 3 for 47 and 2 touchdowns. Khalif Raymond, 3 for 45. He got the ball rolling right away in this game. Even Marvin Jones had a couple catches today.
Yeah, Marvin, baby.
So boy, he's still on the team, if people were wondering.
I love it.
David Montgomery got involved a little bit. Brock Wright had 3 catches today for 16 yards. Good to see.
Yeah, that's right.
He did. Involved a little bit. So, and then JMO had his two. But I mean, just a great dispersion of the ball to many on the team.
Always especially when you consider how effective the run game was. Like Montgomery ran so well today, and like he actually got some holes today finally, and his run was much more efficient with his carries. I think he averaged like 5.7 on the day.
Dude, 19 for 109,
balled out. Yeah,
so. Well, this is the team that Campbell was dreaming about, and control with the run, and it's coming to fruition here. That's why if we, you know, we keep playing games like this, you're not going to see huge passing numbers from Goff, and the run's going to control the game. And that fourth quarter, you can see we wore him down, man. Reynolds comes in with the fresh legs, and all of a sudden he's running wild, man, through that line. So
yeah, he looked great.
Expect more of this in the future.
Speaking of Reynolds, UJ, he earned himself some future touches today. I don't see how you can't feed that man a little bit the way he looked.
Yeah.
He looked fresh and explosive. I mean, granted, you know, he's running on the worn down defense at the end, but it wasn't like they weren't doing things. Like there was a couple times, like one where he got like disrupted in the backfield by like three dudes, and he like kind of like did like a little juke to the outside, got around the whole defense and ran for like, I don't remember how long it was, but like, and then that touchdown run where he like hurdled over a dude in like a perfect low hurdle form and just like slick as hell and just like shot right through the gap for the touchdown. Like that's not just like average. Anyone can do that because we got a great line. That's someone who is ready to have some touches, you know, especially with the injuries. It's only all the better we got a guy like that. Also, you know what's amazing? This isn't even our final form. This offense is only just getting going, because once Gibbs gets healthy and J-Mo starts rolling, like, you know, you see what Miami's doing. I think that's going to be something like you might be seeing from us down the road this season.
I don't know. You might be right about that.
Well, I mean, you just consider the speed. You know, that's the big thing Miami's been flexing. Like, they get their speed going. If we get J-Mo and Gibbs and Khalif and all these guys going, this offense could be so ridiculously explosive.
Oh, yeah. It's already pretty explosive.
It is.
I mean, it's very efficient, too. Mm-hmm. And those middle of the field, I mean, Goff in that medium range is just deadly. In that 10 to 20 yard area, he's just deadly. And it's so fun to watch. Remember the old days of two yard passes and stuff like that? And, you know, we need 5 yards, we throw three. And right. Although now we throw for chunks all the time now, 10, 15 yards, no problem. It's really
yeah, it's awesome. Almost weird when we don't at this point. Everybody's a scheme to be open. It's kind of what we see like from the 49ers offense these days. Like, people are just constantly schemed open when they have the proper athletes and within the system. That's why I think Lions are probably one of the maybe four teams in the NFL that can beat the 49ers just because of how our offense operates and the way our defense is playing as well. And I want to kind of transfer over to that side of the ball because they
let's talk about that.
And showed out in this game. Gave up a couple touchdowns in the fourth quarter, but I mean, they kind of just like set back a little more in the fourth quarter, but that's fine. And I want to start with Hutch because he had another.
You gotta start with Hutch.
Gotta
interception. The man
is one of the sickest interceptions I've ever seen.
You know, we got to add a few pieces. Really well. Catch up with that.
Go ahead, Z.
Oh no, I just like the way he played so physical with a tight end that he knocked him off his screen route, and then Bryce Young was expecting him to somehow pop up there. I mean, prep was not a good throw from Bryce Young, but either way, Aiden Hutchinson, a lot of people are not making that catch. And he doesn't even have gloves on, by the way, I want to add.
So yes, we noticed that.
Bare hand man strength to catch
that. That was just instincts and athleticism, man. Just absolutely terrific.
And not only that, when he caught that, first of all, the catch was just ridiculous, one-handed. And then second of all, the way he was moving like a high-priced tight end, zipping around, making cuts and stuff. Unfortunately, he didn't see that guy coming from the side who almost took his hip out. But other than that, he looked like a really nimble runner there.
He's a ridiculous athlete.
I'm telling you, just what a great athlete.
Just and that's incredible. Why, like you talk about comparisons to like the 49ers. Like, I mean, he's the big reason why, because, you know, like Bosa's the starting point for that defense. Well, Hutch is on that level, and he's proving it game after game. This dude is elite. He affects the game in multiple ways. He's better than Micah Parsons. No matter what,
absolutely way better than Micah Parsons.
Like, I mean. You might be able to point to some other pieces on that 49ers defense that are considered a little more elite because I think they've invested more in that D-line over the years. But, like, we're not far off. And maybe we're better in other categories. I don't know. But, like, we're right there with, like, and, like, because, like, to me, they're kind of the model of build through the trenches in the league right now. That's the same model, like, we've built. And, like right now, you're right, Z. We look like one of the top teams. Then us, like, the Niners and the Eagles, like, we're all rolling right now.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, the defense again, just they come in with a game plan, they execute it. Seattle's really the only time where we look completely lost, but the rest of the season, our defenses look extremely solid. They come in with a game plan and they execute it. And again, we're hurting. Brian Branch is out in this game. He's been our probably most impactful defender outside of Hutch, and Will Harris stepped up. Today,
absolutely. How about
Will Harris? I want to give a
made
little
a great stop in the end zone.
Great stop in the end zone. I believe he had the fumble recovery too. It went through two guys' wickets. He was the third guy to pick it up.
That looked like a rugby play there. It looked like that fumble pickup. One guy passes, two guys.
Did we force that fumble? I could not see. Even
that was
who was standing on?
Trying to remember who it was.
It was Harris or something. I don't know. It kind of like
You know what? I think it was Harris. I think Harris. If I'm remembering right,
Harris picked up the fumble, so it was.
Yeah,
him.
No, but
no,
I think he caused
Charles
and
Harris.
Then came back.
Oh, Charles Harris. Fumble. Okay.
The running back was stuffed at the line, and he was like stood up, and someone was like bear hugging him, and the ball just kind of popped out but low. So like it wasn't clear like who caused it directly, but I was saying it might have been Charles Harris because it was run right at that left edge where he's usually at, right side DN. But I don't know. I didn't see who caused it. Replay wasn't clear.
The box score here either. Maybe.
I'll tell you, they preach turnovers in this game, and the Lions right now are turnover creating defense. Man, we're getting a lot of turnovers, and we're aggressive and in every way. I mean, you know, in these teams, you know, NFL teams are you're going to get a few drives against you, no matter how good your defense is. Maybe score a couple of touchdowns, whatever. But generally speaking, this defense is playing almost lights out, and getting a lot of turnovers. So we're going to win most of those games.
Speaking of turnovers, UJ,
pass rush. You got to have a pass rush.
It does. But you know, I'm glad Z's not the D coordinator here, because otherwise Jerry Jacobs wouldn't be getting all these picks for us lately. You know, because
what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
You continue to talk about Jerry Jacobs.
He's not the best cornerback. It really sucked to see Mosley go down. He's been working all the way back. Finally get on the field.
That sucked. did they say what it was? Did anybody hear how bad it was?
I gotta see.
They said Campbell said we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't come back
because it was like a non-contact thing. Which.
Yeah, it just looked like a hard cut and just kind of. Yeah, that's scary.
Man, they've been so careful working him back all off season.
Maybe he cramped like Branch kept doing.
And you can tell the team felt for bad for him too, because I know he's how much work he's been putting to get back out there.
Right.
Yeah.
I felt bad for Jamar too. Or was that Jamar? I'm assuming 28 still Jamar Jefferson, because he got in for one play, caught a pass, ran down the sideline, and got hurt. I felt bad for him.
Zonovan Knight.
Oh, that was Bam Knight getting hurt? Damn, man, one play. That sucks. You get your shot and you go down.
Yeah, he's at least had a couple other carries, so it's the second game he's got action. But
I guess he did at the
end. Yeah, he injured his knee, and it doesn't look
his look knee?
Good.
Who are you talking about? Mosley.
So
Mosley hurt his knee, or Bam hurt Mosley. His knee? Oh, okay. Oh yeah, if it's his knee, that's not good.
Mosley. And I'm also reading Jonah Jackson was seen leaving a Ford Field in a walking boot.
Nice.
They should just build like Big full bubble back. Suits for those guys to leave in. Honestly, at this point.
Big V was back, but how long? How much did he
Gibbs
play?
Is a weird one too, because he hurt himself in practice.
I just thought of a $1 million idea. Should I share it with the internet? Share it with the world. A recovery suit. Like,
I don't know.
Why not just put them on like a whole suit that you walk out in, and it's just healing your body as you're leaving, getting it iced and like.
Great idea.
Yeah, right. I mean, these guys are going through hell for like 3 hours straight, like putting their bodies through a grinder. Man, I'm surprised like half of them walk out of there without something on every day.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
So it looks like Mosley's not going to be back anytime.
No.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Darn. We're just going to have to keep having these interceptions from Jerry Jacobs. Darn. Oh, man. That sucks. I hate interceptions.
Red Dog.
Like Z. Sorry, Z.
Red Dog. Jerry Jacobs. My tune has not changed on him. I think he's a really solid third cornerback. I don't think he's an everyday starting cornerback. And the Lions proved that, because when Mosley was healthy, he was not their starting quarterback. And he's also very prone to penalties, which he did in this game. Again.
Did Mosley get the start
today?
He
at least gets 1-2 a game. Yes, Mosley got the start.
See, the football god said.
But Jacobs on that one, he did have a really nice play. I mean, he was just reading Bryce Young's eyes the entire time.
Oh, that was a ticky-tack.
Bryce Young didn't even look at the guy.
And interceptions more than cancel out penalties, so it's all good. Stop hating on Jerry. You just don't like him.
I You guys can hear me, right?
I can now.
Once in a while.
You're going in and out. You're like Emmanuel Moseley. You're in, now you're out.
He's frozen. He's frozen in this moment, enjoying it for eternity. Oh, he moved.
He's gone.
Ah! It's just me and you, Red Dog. Oh, no.
Yeah. So this is another man down. Chance to say Jerry Jacobs is clearly
next man up. No,
I don't care what C says. I like Jerry. Jerry's my boy. Dude's a player.
He is a player. I give him a lot of credit. And he's not. Perfect. He's right in the way though. He's not perfect. He's not elite. But he's a gamer, man. This guy is a gamer, and he's got a nose for the ball. So,
and that
he's got
be
three
worth
picks already
lot.
This year. Absolutely. And he's back.
Oh. Back with another bad take on Jerry Jacobs, maybe.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you at this moment.
All right. So, again, the point on Jerry Jacobs I'm going to make, I'm going to repeat it because I can't.
He likes repeating his bad take. Go on.
My take is that Jerry Jacobs is a solid third cornerback in the NFL who can start for you if needed, but he shouldn't be the goal of what you want out of your cornerback from a – every
he's not the
start.
Perfect paragon of greatness. Like, sorry,
well,
he's not a perfect man for you, Z. He just gets turnovers for his
it's league. Any consolation, Z, I somewhat agree
he,
with
he
you
has
on this.
Shown over him.
Yeah.
He's a gamer, man. No,
I'm
he's
just
not perfect.
We've seen. I'm not like going up. Not,
he's
like,
not perfect.
Going on some weird limb here.
It's a bad limb.
No, he's not perfect. That's
rotten limb.
Part of the point I'm making, I guess, is that he's not perfect.
Yeah, but he makes turnovers. You know, that covers up a lot of imperfections.
Yeah.
That's like extra strength, like mascara. That covers up all the ugly blemishes because it's turnovers make everything right, baby.
Yeah, and he did a great job. He just sat back there, read Bryce Young's eyes the entire way. I mean, he completely went off his guy in coverage.
It was a nice
right
play
to the pick.
Yeah, he did. He did.
That was a really good one. He had a one last
you know what
week.
Allows,
it too.
And you know what allows a defense to be that aggressive is when you have a pass rush. You know that's going to get after it, and you don't have to
true.
Rely on your coverage as much. You can take those risks every once in a while.
You know
so,
what? I'm
great
okay
job,
with rolling with Jerry Jacobs to the Super Bowl. He'll keep getting turnovers and proving Z wrong. It's
me
all
too,
good, baby.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you guys a question. Why are we punting from what was it, 38-yard line?
38.
That was interesting.
The 38.
Yeah. So we just had no confidence in our kicker or what to kick a.
Well,
long
we saw
one?
This in the Chiefs game too. In another game. Which one of the other games where we get like to the 40 or inside the 40, and then decide to punt it. It's
you know
odd.
What my
and
theory
we also
is?
Don't have a kicker that can kick it over 50 yards. And so between the field goal posts, so that also.
What would he have kicked there if we didn't punt it before the penalty?
It would have been like a
55.
Yeah, 55. Yeah.
In the NFL, you should be able to kick a 55-yarder. In
I
today's
agree.
NFL.
I agree.
I also
but
think
Riley
Dan Campbell is biased against field goals and hates to take them. And I think he honestly thought a better route to a touchdown there would be to pin him deep and let the defense get after Bryce Young. Honestly, that's what went through my head. I just think trying to like get in Dan Campbell's head a little bit because I think he's a very instinctive coach for better or for worse right now, you know, like as he's growing. But I think that's how I think he just hates field goals.
And could be.
But, well, the for worse was his challenge early in the game. His challenge
that was
awful.
Horrible. Horrible challenge.
Oh, that's like right.
And he had time
to
think
it.
About it, and he still did it.
I wonder
he's
if he does stuff
like
that.
That.
Line.
He probably does it on purpose. Just he knows it's not going to win, and well, just I'm just going to do it anyway.
He did one like know. That against. Well, I mean, it was a little better probably than today's, but the one where was it when Tracy Walker almost had that pick and went through his arms, and but it clearly hit the turf, and like a booth guy should have told Dan. Right away that was like an incomplete pass, but Dan threw the flag, but like the crowd got jacked up about it. So that would have been Atlanta, I guess. And like I was like, yeah. Did he just read like the crowd just need him to throw that flag and Dan just knew because like we clearly lost, but then the crowd gets into it. It's like, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe he just feels something we don't.
You guys don't understand. Stan, he's playing the long game here. He's making some bad challenges on purpose right now to throw his opponents off in a future in future games in the playoffs. We just
I don't have the stats in front of me. I don't even know where you find these stats exactly, but his I feel like his challenge win rate is not high throughout his first 3 years in the NFL. I don't remember him winning much in my head. Like when I see Camel challenge, like I have confidence that it's going to win. Usually it's the opposite when I see.
Yeah, he does not. This is one place where I feel like maybe he should be a little more analytical and just let like the guy up in the booth say like, "Hey, that was a bad. Don't challenge it."
Well, maybe that's what's happening. We don't know how he's deciding to do this, but
we just have a really bad booth challenge guy. He's like Tracy Koth. He's just like a total homer, like drinking Kool-Aid up in the booth. Like, oh man, Tracy caught that. That's for sure. Throw the flag. I gotta see this.
He's drinking. Yeah,
like, look, we're not. Oh, that's bullshit. He totally caught that.
There can only be two of these throughout the game, and we've like done one in the last 3 weeks. I don't think you're gonna get to me. Oh shit. I have a 50-50 chance of getting this right. Throw the flag.
Like I do really wonder how he determines that. Cause like some ways, like same thing with like his like go for it fake punts and stuff, you know? Like he clearly has like a way of coming to these decisions. And part of me, like, especially early in his career, felt like he was doing some of these things just not to be scared, just to do the thing because he wanted to just because he could, because, you know, like it was aggressive and it was bold. And I think he's like been tailoring that like over the years here in his time. And now like these challenges, I almost feel like he's just getting used to like throwing them just because to like, I don't know. Like, there's something weird about it. Cause why is he taking these obvious losers and throwing these flags when you have a guy in the booth who can tell you if they're obvious losers or not? But I'm just guessing here.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But anyways, another pretty solid game from Anzalone, I thought, here as well.
Yeah. Really good game.
I wanted a little more out of Jack Campbell in this game. It was not his best.
Pancake today.
Yeah, the first touchdown drive that the Panthers had, the long sustained one, there was a few times that it did not go well for him.
Yeah, Jackie boy maybe got a little bold on thinking he could take on NFL guards head on or something. I don't know. I mean, he's a badass, but, you know, physics still has a play here. 300 pounds versus 250.
Yeah, there's two notable ones in that for me. I would have to go back and watch more, but two that stood out to me. I think there was like a pulling guard, and he tried to take him. It was either head-on Red Dog, or he tried to peek inside for some reason, which I didn't understand.
Either way,
he got caught up and driven back 10 yards on the play.
Is that the one where he got put on his ass? Because that's what happened on the one I was talking about.
I don't know if we're talking about the same one or not. I think we're talking different. Like a 12-yard run.
That was a bad drive for him in general. That's not good.
So maybe a humbling game for him, and then the coverage on the touchdown pass also.
Yeah,
like, I mean, it's a tough spot to be in, but
you know, we always talk about what's the coach's like best like scenario, like a game where you play bad and still win. Like, we didn't only play bad and still win; we like played bad and like outright dominated. Like, and I mean, play bad is a loose term, but we didn't play perfect. We didn't play like top notch football in every facet today. We were just better. We made mistakes, the other team had some chances, but we were better. We made plays, turnovers that being the big ones, but like our offense, you know, kept clicking. Like, we were just better team today, and that's just like just awesome. It's so awesome to see.
The sad part for this Lions team or the Panthers team is that they traded up for Bryce Young, a lot of draft capital.
Yeah,
so they don't even have they're the worst team in the league, and they do not have their number one pick.
I'm not ready to crap on Bryce Young just yet. Like, Bryce Young, when we gave him time, he was making some throws and stuff. Like, I mean, I wouldn't have drafted him personally. I think his height's a huge limiter on him. I mean, but other quarterbacks have overcome.
His height's one thing, his weight's another.
Height and weight. His whole build, like, he's just not built to be an elite quarterback. But, you know, he's smart and he knows how to throw the ball and he's got some tools. I don't know. I think you give him another year or two and he might turn into something if he can survive. But obviously CJ Stroud was just made more sense to my mind, and he's showing it.
Yeah, Stroud looks great. Stroud looks great. So
I mean, he looks like the prototype, though. He's built like a prototype. But you went with the little guy built like a 10-year-old boy. Congratulations.
But the Lions give up less than 100 yards rushing in this game. Again, 99 yards on the ground for the Panthers.
Good
performance in that regard too. Yeah, go ahead.
Just Anzo. I made that connection because like Anzo and Bryce Young, like that was ridiculous. He just ran in and tried to tackle the guy, but he's so small. He like his arm went around his helmet kind of
on the roughing the passer call.
That dude is going to put refs yellow flags to the test in his career.
That was a horrible
he's
call.
He's built so small that like at least Giants are tackling him. Why? Of course they're going to ramp up his head because that's like at their waist. That was a bad call. Like Anzalone, like what could you do there though? Like, I mean, it's just like little dude. Go for the knees next time.
Yeah. No, I would agree. Questionable call, but I think that's just how the NFL's calling it now. So
yeah, they protect the quarterback. Like, and you need like bubble wrap to protect that little kid.
But if somebody mentioned in the podcast here a week or two ago, like that the NFL seemed a little more lax on the roughing the passer, I would disagree. I was actually agreement at time, but after observing it more last couple of weeks, maybe somebody heard in the NFL was listening to us. Maybe they're spying on us on this podcast. but they seem to be way more stricter about it now, or more flag happy with it.
Well, with
especially on throws over the middle against like wide receivers. They've been really throwing a lot on those.
Oh, like defenseless receiver.
Is there anybody else you guys want to highlight?
Yeah.
Yes. Anybody else did you guys want to highlight?
I just want to highlight Dan Campbell slightly. I know we talked about him, but his demeanor on the sidelines is he's so stoic out there. Like if you watched him during any part of the game, you wouldn't know if they're winning or losing. You just wouldn't know. He doesn't get too emotional. He doesn't get too high. Doesn't get too low. He's just kind of a steadying force out there. And these guys, he's got these guys playing at such a high level, and their confidence is so high. So just a lot of credit to him and his staff. These guys are playing fast and hard and furious, and they're hungry. And if they can keep this up, they can go a long way this year. And I just want to give him a lot of credit for that. And it's just interesting. You wait for some emotion out of him. At the most is maybe a high five as a guy's running by or something. You know, that's it. I don't know. It's just interesting.
You know, EJ, like I'm with you too. And I think we're really seeing him settle into like what he's becoming. Like these last couple of years have been sort of like a mad clawing to like create something, right? Like there's been like, you know, he's had to like pull stuff out of his ass to just like mid season to turn around a 1-6, you know, record and things like that. Like, but now that like his vision's coming to fruition, this roster's coming to fruition, and we're getting the wins we should be getting, and things are starting to, you just see him just like settle into this. Just he's like this badass, like stoic leader. Like, yeah, like all the badassery and the biting the kneecaps and like that crazy like things. Like he's still giving us great lines. Like, you know, if you're hunting us, well, you won't have to go far because we'll be on your front porch when you open the door. Like things like that. Yep. Like still just so badass. But like it's, you don't see him. He's not having to act out. He's not having to like get crazy. Like he's not even overly aggressive. He calls the shots when he feels like they're there and when we need them. But like he's settling into this really nice, calm, like controlled, just like here. He's not explaining defeats all the time. Like this dude, he's very just being realized right now, and it's only getting better, and it's so awesome to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the Bears won on Thursday night, so good for them. I don't see him as a threat. The Vikings lose again to the Chiefs in Minnesota. Close game. They lost by 7, 27-20. And Green Bay plays on the road in Vegas tomorrow night. So that's undetermined.
Maybe I'll pop over.
How that goes. Yeah. I'm sure it's a cheap ticket over there.
Man,
Vegas tickets are like more expensive than almost anywhere in the NFL. Because the crowd they attract. But anyways, so yeah, and then so the Eagles moved to 5-0. 49ers playing right now. They're up 14 on the Cowboys at halftime. So maybe the Lions will probably be trailing those two still. And then next week, the Lions are traveling to Tampa Bay. The game got flexed to that America's Game of the Week, 3:25 Central, 4:25 Eastern time slot, like Greg Olson and them announcing it. So that'll be good. Baker Mayfield. I love Baker Mayfield. It's going to kind of suck to play against him because I love the guy.
It's kind of weird, Z.
Anywhere he's gone. Sure. Yeah.
Well, I hope we crush him.
Well, I obviously hope we crush him next week, but I hope he picks himself back up.
That should be a fun game, though, on the road.
That will be fun. I mean, they're really good defense, the Buccaneers have, and just enough offense to get to 3-1 where they're at right now. And obviously, that's important for playoff implications and stuff later. So,
sure. A step up from what we played this week.
Definitely. This seems to be a very top-heavy NFC where the lower half is not good, like horrible in a lot of ways. like the Bears, like the Giants. Oh, can you imagine me?
The Giants. Oh, they're sad.
The Giants scored their first touchdown in the first half of the season today. It was a pick six. That was 102 yards. They almost gave up a touchdown before.
Wow.
But they have not scored an offensive touchdown in the first half this year.
I did not realize they were doing that bad. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they gave up 11. They got sacked 11 times last week by the Seahawks, who don't have a great defense.
Well, so. I guess I'm no longer proud about how we kicked their ass in the first day of joint practices.
yes, the Giants are probably worse than the Panthers, honestly. So there's that. We go on about the rest of the league for a while. But anyways, there's only two undefeated teams left, the Eagles and 49ers. Everybody else has one loss. So, anyways, Lions maintained their stranglehold on the NFC North, and we look forward to coming back later this week. We'll probably release a podcast on like Thursday, previewing the Lions traveling on the road to Tampa Bay. Where I didn't even look at the look ahead line yet if they're favored or not. Maybe it's not obvious because of injuries and stuff, but I would imagine Lions might be an underdog in that
one. They might be.
I'm gonna look right now. Well,
people make stupid calls all the time.
I mean, yeah, that'd be extremely dumb, but nonetheless, let's see. Warm weather for Jared Goff, always good. Oh no, I'm wrong. Lions are 3-point favorites right now heading into that game. So there you go.
All right.
So, all right, that's going to wrap it up. Again, we're doing this as a live stream on YouTube. So if there's some technical difficulties in there, I kind of lost connection there for a minute or two in the middle of the podcast. Yep. That's how we roll it. We just roll along. We just go
just keep on. Rolling.
What? That's right. I bit a couple digital kneecaps on the way back into the podcast, clawed my way back in.
You know y'all be loving this shit right here.
Yeah. So, anyways, YouTube at DTBK, so you can take that or cookie. At Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, either one works, the five on YouTube, subscribe on there. We got a decent subscriber base right now, which is pretty cool. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on this game. Today against the Panthers, the butt whooping on Carolina that we put. And then Spotify, Apple, where you get a podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. And we, of course, want to thank our producer,
Kid J. Ooh, yeah. Laggy.
Yeah, a little bit, nonetheless. Yes, our producer, Kid J, also put up on the, YouTube screen there, our email, drinkingthebluekoolaid@gmail.com. Send us a voice message, send us a message, a question you want us to answer on the podcast. We'd love to do so. So, anyways, we will be back later this week. Talking about the 4-1 Lions traveling to Tampa Bay to go against the 3-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's a big game. They're all big games. This is the biggest one yet of the year. And we are super pumped up for it. We can't wait to have you back listening to the podcast to preview that. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, as always,
go!
Down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.